I thought of you last night.
Unbelievable.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was this morning. It was this morning. Did you see Dalton Varsho's catch for the Blue Jays?
No, I didn't. I didn't see Dalton Varsho.
Did you see that?
I did see that, yeah.
Goes back, falls face first onto the warning track, throws his glove up behind him blindly without turning his head, and catches the ball.
And so that made you think of me for some reason?
This is why I hate expected,
expected catch.
This is why I hate expected catch. That's one of those silliest. You know, I use some of these advanced stats, but, you know, pretty much the basic ones, war and all that stuff. And but expected catch to me is the silliest thing there is. The expected catch on that had to be like 0.5. Like, he was face first on.
He fell down.
Are you looking at it?
I am. I'm trying to get your.
He was face first on the warning track.
That might have been the best catch I ever seen.
It might be. But like, what was the expected catch, though?
Give me a second. I'll get it for you. Give me a second. But I don't know why you are railing against this. Like the expected catch is not in the same space as you. Because I imagine, as I'm looking for it, that the expected catch on that was very low, which speaks to how incredible of a catch it was. Like, that is the point. The point isn't like, wow, why didn't you catch that? It's like, all right, well, this gives context. It is just more context, and I do not believe context to be a bad thing, Lopez. I do not believe context.
What was that one he gave us the other day during the Rockets game?
Yeah, it was offensive rating in the first half.
Offensive rating in the first half was 103.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Was that good or not?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
It might have been good in the 90s.
Yeah, the Rockets are down 2 points, but what was their offensive rating?
So y'all don't want me to send the stats?
No, I like it.
See, that's the thing. You're like, no, keep sending it. And every time I send the stats.
I like it because I feel like I'm smart.
Yeah, I feel clued in it.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I think I'm learning something.
The thing is, I want you to keep.
I actually feel bad that I can't send no stats and numbers and stuff, man.
Advanced stats.
Yeah, you can send all the stats that you want. There's a lot of stats available for you. Just go ahead and send those to me.
No, I like it because some of them are entertaining and some of them are like you said, Figgy, they're kind of useful. I'm like, oh, okay, I could use that.
I feel slow. Yeah. Like when y'all be using big words around me, you better all talk in Spanish around me at that point.
Exactly.
So watching Hoop yesterday, it hit me again that I'm always amazed by how just like a certain angle changes everything. And of course, it's not just basketball. You see this in all sorts of sports, but it always makes me go, hey, you should probably not speak so damn confidently about some of these things. And you're like, no, it's clear. It's obvious. Mm-hmm. Because you'll see like a foul and then you'll be like, there's no way that's not a foul.
Oh, are you
like,
talking
that's
about 100%. The elbow to the face?
And then you get it from a different angle and you're like, actually, that wasn't nowhere close. Like how did I think that? And it's just like, guys, we probably should remember that like, hey, three dimensions matter. And maybe we should not be so aggressive and egregious about these. Yeah.
You're talking about the Banchero?
Yeah.
Yeah. In case you missed it, Banchero fouled somebody's elbow with his face. Pretty much.
Yep.
Pretty much.
So, no, I'm amazed that just, that's why they need to give us more angles.
They do.
See, just
I'll
like
agree with that.
More angles, more information, more context, Lopez. You see, it all ties together. Mm-hmm. It all comes together. Don't worry. I'll send you some more ex-woba tonight.
Ex-woba. There we go. Ex-woba. Yeah.
Speaking of being amazed, I'm kind of amazed that some of these head coaches that are currently in the NBA playoffs right now. One is Doc Rivers.
Mm-hmm. Well, not anymore.
Yep, he's not in there. And when they lost that game, being up 7 with 30 seconds left, I'm just like, I think Doc Rivers, he can't go out like this.
Oh, so he's back.
Well, but that wasn't his fault, though.
Look, it don't even matter, man. I don't even think it matter at this point. He wasn't on the court. I don't think it's anything he could have done. But just for the simple fact that it was Doc Rivers losing like this.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't Doc Rivers. It was
he is the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
They
man.
Had a 7-point lead with 30 seconds. And like,
and who's coaching him?
How do you coach a dude who, mind you, was having the game of his life?
Yeah.
To just, hey, when we break the press, which they did perfectly, and we pass it to you, how about you catch the ball instead of letting it bounce off your kneecap out of bounds?
No.
Like, is that something? Do you typically go into your after timeout, into your timeout, and like, hey, guys, remember.
Remember this. Catch it.
Remember to pass the ball. Remember, don't get trapped. Remember, actually catch the basketball. Like, who needs to say that?
Yeah.
But I think for the simple fact that Doc Rivers was the head coach, man, It's just
bad juju.
These things find
certain people.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of feel bad for them, but in the same breath, I'm like, man, that's classic Doc Rivers at this point. And I also feel the same way about Tom Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
So during that Knicks game, they were I forgot how much they were down by, but he was trying to get Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was trying to, for some reason, they couldn't get in the game because the game didn't stop.
Yeah.
And so I think it went about a minute 30.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson sitting at the scorer's table trying to get in the game so they could come back and win. And that brother did not call a timeout.
Yeah.
The Knicks was trying to foul at one point. Mm-hmm. They didn't foul, and they just lost like a minute 30. I'm just like, man, this is classic Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
And not to mention, Jalen Brunson ended up getting hurt. Josh Hart was hurt a little earlier, too. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, man, he is running these guys into the ground. And I just wouldn't know what to do if these were the head coaches of my team.
I do agree. Things like that, as not as much as they were not his fault, they just tend to follow
it's,
guys
it's
like
It's just
that.
The name.
They just follow guys.
Yeah, like and honestly, I can't even sit there and blame these coaches saying that's why y'all lost the game.
Yeah.
But just for the simple fact, it's these guys.
Mm-hmm.
People just going to look at, man, this head coach, man, he got to go, man.
Yeah. All right, so I've been covering baseball professionally since – really, 1985, I started covering my first major league games. So that's a long time, 40 years, right?
Yeah.
I think that would count as a long time. Yeah. I believe so.
I got to admit, I had no idea anything that's called a pitcher's protective helmet ever existed.
Are you for real?
No, I had no idea.
It's been a few years with these.
I saw Kike Hernandez last night. He finished up like a 15-2 game. He's a position player wearing... pitching in the final inning, and they gave him this helmet that looks like a giant headband, but it's a helmet, and he pitched with it, which is a terrific idea. I love the idea because you don't want a pitcher's, you know, a position player getting hit in the head as he's finishing up a blowout. But the pitcher's protective helmet, I mean, that's on me. I had no idea that such a thing existed.
You don't remember the joints that they had? Oh, man, it was a few years ago. Maybe it was like 3-4 years ago.
2013 was the last time a player used it in a major league.
Was it really that long ago?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I looked it up. It was 2013.
I feel like there's been some protective helmets out here. Or like, I think they were the protective hats. The ones that looked like kind of like.
That's for the coaches on the baselines. I knew those.
No, they had them. They had pitchers wearing them as well, especially because there was a time period where people were really concerned about those the baseball coming back and hitting the pitcher.
Yeah.
And I remember that there was the hats that they tried to make look like your regular baseball cap.
No, I've seen them in Little League, high school. I've never seen them made. It looks like a headband. Did you see the picture of Kike? It's like a giant headband.
I've seen his particularly.
But it's made out of the same material, you know, the hard plastic or whatever it is.
Right.
You know? And it I could see why players wouldn't use them because it's not very becoming.
That was the thing. Because I vividly remember this happening like maybe a half decade ago. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Like it's right in that span.
Mm-hmm.
I vividly remember that kind of conversation about why aren't more of these guys using it. It's basically the same conversation as the Guardian caps where it was like, this is clearly going to be safer. Why not wear it? And a lot of the conversation, it wasn't all of it, but a lot of it was like, hey, if it just isn't comfortable and I don't like the way it looks or feels, you know, and if you're not going to have the players be able to adopt it comfortably, then you're not going to.
Is it easy to take off or it would take a little bit to take off? Because I realize a lot of pitchers, they constantly take the hat off and put it back on, wipe the sweat and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So if it's not that easy to take
it's
off.
It's over
like
your hat, so I don't believe it could be very easy. Or it's not as easy.
Yeah, it's probably a pain in the butt.
Because he had his hat on, and then he had this little giant headband thing on.
Yeah, when you look at pitchers pitch, like before the pitches, they constantly take the hat off, wipe the sweat, put the hat on, readjust, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of the reasons they don't do that.
Yeah. So, but.
So you knew these.
Yeah, I knew of these, and maybe these are the same ones. I think they were approved in 2014. And so, but yeah, I remember some of this happening. I remember a lot of the conversation about the way it looks and, you know, being comfortable and things of that nature. But yeah, ultimately, it didn't latch on. But yeah, I appreciate the Kike was out here like, hey, man, I'll go out here and pitch, but one thing I'm going to make sure I'm going to do is be safe. We wearing our seatbelt. We going to speed limit, and we're wearing this helmet.
So do y'all think he was trying to be safe, or he just like...
No, yeah, I think he was probably told to wear it. Oh. That's KK Hernandez, man, and it's 15-2 or 15-3, whatever it was.
They put position players up there all the time.
I know,
time.
But I'm saying more position players should do it, and he didn't have a problem doing it. I just think because it's unbecoming, they don't do it. You know?
I feel like he was in there like, hey... I wear that thing.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, you think he was just doing it for the fashion?
I think
it's
so.
A bit?
Yeah, I think it's a bit like somebody, I put that big old hat on. Yeah. Screw it. I go out there with that on. Because otherwise, people will put any position player out there with it on.
Yeah.
So one of the things I've realized about myself, or I guess re-realized in some ways about myself, is that I think, you can tell I generally try to be like a fairly kind person, especially like people I don't know talking about them, which is obviously a part of this job quite a bit, talking about players and folks that I don't actually know. So I try to be relatively respectful. Mm-hmm. And I realize that I actually have some blind spots in that because some players, and I'm sure you guys have heard me talk about, so I'll talk about them kind of aggressively. And I'm like, hey, that's a little reckless, like Tyler Shuck or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
One of those guys is Ben Simmons, who is now with the Los Angeles Clippers. And in watching this that series, the Clippers versus the Nuggets, I actually, I got to confess, I actually found some respect for him. Like, not trying to be a guard or a point guard, especially taking him out of that place where he has to, have those instances where he clearly won't shoot a shot outside of, a dunk.
Yeah.
He's actually translated to an useful playoff, small ball center now.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think that I could have a level of respect for him after all the things that he did and refusal to actually just shoot a basketball in a game where you were supposed to shoot the basketball, getting paid millions and millions of dollars to shoot a basketball. But I've actually found a level of respect for him, and I didn't think I would have that.
I would love to see a documentary on Ben Simmons, man.
You might.
It is bizarre how much he don't want to shoot.
But
it,
what's funny is, some of this, and this is where I don't know if this fully ties to Shador, but I do wonder if the pre-draft kind of conversation sometimes, or a lot of times, I'm inclined, at least personally, to kind of shoo away some of the negative things that are said, especially as anonymous scouts or what have you have this concern about character or whatever. And I'm like, man, whatever, man, y'all talking. But these were some of these things can be tied back to the concerns that were had about him coming out of LSU before he was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And it all felt like, oh, y'all hating. And then looked like it was kind of issues with him on not wanting to get with the program and things of that nature. Like, that seems like that has really hampered his career. But look at him being a solid small ball backup center.
And
good for you.
And sadly, a video clip of him is making all the rounds tonight of making a hell of a move on Jokic and then airballing. Today, but last thing, 713 says clearly intimating that Reggie's channeling Daryl Morey. So you're saying the Rockets actually won that game?
You see, when you look at the points per possession, and no, I'm not going to go that far.
We actually won. We actually won this series.
No, still down 3-1. Still need to stave off elimination. That game will be at 6:30 tonight. So at least we'll get some good sleep. And hopefully it'll be some good sleep and happy sleep with the opportunity for that series to transition back to Golden State. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I want to do something a little bit off the beaten path. Can we do a niche sports report? Because we're coming up on the biggest boxing weekend of the calendar. It looks like it'll deliver. Plus, the names of the Kentucky Derby are out, and it seems like there's some fun ones there. And you know what? We should probably talk about whatever Bill Belichick's got going on.
Oh, yeah.
Next.
Oh, yeah.